Our next guest is a return guest to the show. Seth Reines is with us. Seth discusses some of the most sensitive issues now in America. He is the author of the first book for transgender teenagers. It's called Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transition and Beyond. The book is available on Amazon, and in a moment, we will speak live with Seth Reines on Starcom Radio Network. Hey, Seth, nice to have you back on the show. How are you today?
Good. Hi, Ed. How you doing?
Real good. So this is a very explosive, kind of volatile question, right? So we've got some time to dissect and get in a little deeper than maybe some of the other media coverage. Will Trump erase LGBTQ progress? And I added the Q. Is that okay? Or I even know that's
sure,
kind of a new...
Sure,
good.
Sure.
Now, the progress has been enormous, but it's been catch-up, right? It's been previously excluded, ignored, etc. So it's a catch-up kind of situation. What's at stake, do you feel? What is at risk under Trump's attitude, which, you know, depending on which day you get him, he'll say, it won't be hard to find a quote, that he's supportive of the LGBTQ community. What that means, we don't know. It hasn't hit his desk yet. So tell me where we're at. What do you think is most precious and vulnerable in the progress side? And what impressions do you get of what Trump might do on this issue?
Well, I wish I had a crystal ball. I wish I could tell you that he's going to keep everything the same, and he may. I don't know. I mean, what my position in all of this is that you don't know until it happens. And, you know, people can say what they want, and they can comment on everything they think he said or what they heard. But I know there are many, many organizations that have been into play for LGBT rights and for like 30, 40 years that, you know, are out there having everybody's back. And they're the ones that have their ears to the ground, and they're the ones that are, I'd hate to say the word locked and loaded, but they're the ones that are going to, you know, come at them full force should something, you know, start or smell like something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend a lot of time just having people just live their lives. I mean, if we all went around worrying what tomorrow or the next 10 minutes would bring, you know, I don't know that we could live. I mean, we did that with 9/11, if you remember, and then everybody eventually sort of got back into their lives, and we do live in a different world today than we lived in 20, 30 years ago. So,
it's
really hard to predict, and I wouldn't even want to guess or predict what's going to happen.
Okay, well, I'll go right in.
My concern is to keep people, you know, on their daily lives and just keep doing what you need to do and keep doing to make yourself the right. You know, the right person, the right you, and, you know, I hope that and for the sense of everything in the world and what's going on, that, you know, we can allay hatred just in general.
Right, right.
You know, try to get a grip on that.
Well, let's go right into maybe the thorniest of the issues and also maybe the one that most people have heard something about, and that is what the public policy in a given state is going to be on bathroom usage.
Right.
From especially the perspective, I think where it's most delicate of all, there was a perspective of the youngster or the adolescent. And more cases are coming up, you know, I won't enumerate them all, where assertions of a transgender status are coming younger and younger. I believe the Boy Scouts agreed now. They're going to have transgender boys in the Boy Scouts just the other day.
Right. Yes, right. I know that woman. I encouraged her when she approached me, when Christy approached me in November at a what they call a GSA forum, which is Gay Straight Alliance forum back in Perth Amboy, and she had come up to me and told me what was going on. I had encouraged her to step out to the ACLU and in New Jersey, the Garden State Equality, which she did, and to a success. But certainly not without her child being in the public eye and, you know, everything that goes along with it.
Right, right. Not only is desirable.
I think it's the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad that the BSA did the right thing with that.
That's it. So I would imagine that's got to be one of the most precious types of progress is the, you know, embrace by an institution, embrace by a bureaucracy. So with the bathroom issue, where do you feel the biggest misunderstanding or the biggest area of disagreement is the way you read it? I mean, certainly it's cultural, North and South. It's cultural, right. Liberal, conservative. It's cultural, it's also religious.
It's also religious, too.
Yeah, that's it. You're going to have a lot of people. Right.
A lot of it's religious.
Right.
I think the hardest thing for people to understand, and I think if people would step back, they'd realize there's never been an incident. You know, across the country, there's never been anybody arrested for that particular type of behavior. I mean, yes, is someone a sexual pervert or someone who's an exhibitionist or something like that? Yeah, you hear a case once in a while, but they're not transgender, and we have laws for that. I think what people need to understand is it's primarily toward the male to female, the older adult, and if people would just understand that it takes everything that a trans woman has to just walk out of her house dressed like a woman, hoping she will blend so that she doesn't stand out. And why would they want to go into a bathroom to do what they normally would have to do and cause a scene? That's the least of what they want, because they're trying to just blend. And I think if people would just look at it that from that angle and not from the angle that they're in there to do harm, which, again, there's no record of that, it's more or less, I wish I could say common sense should prevail. I mean, that's what I'd love to see happen.
You know, you're the right one to give us the insight here, okay? When someone, as you say, a male dresses as a female, worries about acceptance, goes to an office or goes to the supermarket, what is the expression that they're making? Should I read them, especially if I can tell, oh, geez, I feel bad. Look at the beard line, beautiful. You know, I get it. Oh,
right,
okay.
Now, right.
Again, I grew up in the Bronx in New York. It's not like we never saw transgender people. We saw them in the 60s. Now, it was a different world, but it wasn't that we didn't know that this was, that there were people who did this. But I don't think what my generation or subsequent have really understood, unless they are, in fact, in this situation, is what's the nature of the expression so that we could put something in our head to say, you know, I feel for this person. This is what they're trying to tell me. I feel for them because in spite of it being somewhat transparent, they need to do this. They're wearing a skirt.
Right.
They're wearing heels. They're all in here. Something's happening
because
it's not Halloween. This is not done for any other reason but self-expression. And I just feel that's the least understood from the general public.
Right. Well, you know, we're based in a society where first impression is important. It shouldn't be. In some instances, it is and it isn't. And I think if we would just try and take a step back and realize it takes everything in a person's power to actually have the courage to walk outside of their house dressed the way they feel, we sometimes forget that because, you know, the normal everyday person just throws on clothes whether they want to look good or not. They run out of the house. They do what they have to do, never ever thinking that they're either being stared at or somebody's gawking at them, or not even that, you know, actually approaching them and saying things that are harmful and hateful. Most people don't and have never experienced that, so they can't step inside of that person's, mind for the moment. But, you know, most people don't have the money to have, you know, facial surgery to certainly walk outside of the house looking like a woman and not be read as anything else but a woman and the way they feel. And I think when the general public is afraid of something they don't understand, that's when the hate comes out. That's when the fear comes out. It's like fear of the unknown. And again, I can't reiterate enough that a trans woman or someone who is just trying to blend has actually more fear running through their veins walking out in public. I mean, for them to be able to leave their house, go grocery shopping, or just do the simple mundane things and come home without incident, that's a major success.
Seth Reines is our guest on the Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network, AM/FM stations all across America. Let me also mention that Seth Reines is a transgender male and the author of the first book for transgender teens, Real Talk for Teens, a jumpstart guide to gender transition and beyond, available on Amazon. That was not easy to write, I'm sure. What? Right?
I had a lot more hair then.
So let's begin. The urge to, you know, the moment from which you said, you know something? I'm writing a book. That's it. And then you, the next day you're like, oh my God, did I say I was writing a book? I have to write a book now. When did that happen?
Well, I mean, it happened. The initial reason was to write it for the child who had no support. Because it goes with, you know, obviously the A to Z of transitioning, but it also goes with you need to stay in school. What are you going to do if you have to disclose or come out to someone? What are you going to do for your future? You know, what about bullying? You know, how are you going to live your life? So it's more than just transitioning. But what I found out along the way, which I'm very pleased about, is that psychologists and counselors and anybody working in the trans community or anybody that even knows anyone nearly attached to it, adults, are reading this book because, again, for them, it's a very simple education of not just transitioning, but what a person goes through. Even if they're 8 years old, which is it's a little different than an adult who's already had 20 or 30 years under their belt, but it's what they go through and maybe gives them a little insight to what's inside a transgender person and realize that, you know what? They're just like everybody else. Okay, this is the cross they may bear, but somebody else has another cross to bear. And unfortunately, this shows in public. It's not something they can, you know, live with. They can live with it internally. They don't like to do that. But once you step out in public as something other than what people know you as, it's out there for view where other people can hide some of their crosses. So
right, right.
And so they have to be prepared and they have to be supported and self-confident. And it takes a lot behind the scenes to, as I said before, someone who's older to step out. Kids, you know, are fearless. We teach them to fear, right?
Right, right.
So they're fearless, and they're going to come out and do whatever they want to do, and it's up to their parents to help them. And unfortunately, a lot of parents don't. That's
exactly,
well.
Exactly, right. They don't have the resource at home or the ally, as it were.
Right, right, right.
The all right, so is there an arrival point where some transgender people feel, now that I've made significant outward transition, I'm good. This is where I wanted to be. Or is it always a tug of war on the inside because there are still remnants of the other gender's past? If nothing, it's just
right,
the memories.
Right.
What's that like? Because you want to believe, every time a new issue like this emerges in society, I think society wants to believe, well, now you got what you want, right? So it's going to be okay. You guys are going to pipe down a little bit. And rarely is that the case. Whenever there's been a group in society, it's usually a lot longer after the announced change, whether it's race, whether it's gender. It takes a long while for the controversy in their own soul every day to come down. What's it like?
Right.
At least now, better?
Right, well,
yeah.
I mean, if you're talking about younger kids, the sooner it happens, the less memory you need to, so to speak, erase or social conditioning. Like if you're talking about me because I'm older, you know, there's always that look over your shoulder, whether you're doing that physically or you're looking back into your life. I mean, we'd all like to forget a lot of things in our past and move forward. And for the most part, you know, I've done that. I mean, I've done the medical, I've done this, all the surgical, I've done everything. But, you know, with 50 years of social conditioning or attempting not to live the way the world thinks you should live because you're in the wrong body for yourself,
right?
You know, you do the best you can. And I talk to people a lot, and I say, you know, you can take the hormones and you can do the surgery, but what are you going to do about your mind? You know, somehow you're going to have to either, you know, put that into the back part of your brain and go forward or deal with specific issues that still tend to crop up. I believe if you ask any transgender person, I don't mean a 6 or 7 year old because they're too young, but anybody that's had a few years of life under their belt, they will probably, maybe not readily, but probably say to you, you know, this is something that still bothers me, although for the most part, I'm pretty happy. But then, doesn't everybody else have that in life?
Exactly. Right. I think,
you know,
that's a great,
I mean, we
point.
All have issues. I don't know that we
point.
Can literally close a door and leave whatever happened yesterday behind and never to, you know, address that ever
Absolutely.
Again in any type of situation unless, you know, something's happened to you mentally where you really totally forget everything.
Exactly. You know, it's a great point. There's universality to that for sure. Now, this is an old issue, But I don't think it's resolved at all, but it's maybe the oldest issue that I remember, whether it's transgender or, you know, anywhere in the LGBTQ community.
Right,
and that is,
right.
And you alluded to it already, but people are familiar with, the violence inspired by the other person being different. You're going to get
right.
a beating because you look like this. You're going to get a beating because you look like that. Now, again, multi-generational. When I was a little kid, people got beat up for what they were in the Bronx. Is it too far of a reach? This is what me thinking, and I'm submitting this to you. At some point, wouldn't members of the communities say to themselves, you know something, does anybody in our crowd know judo? Does anybody here have a pistol permit? We're putting the word out. One incident, we're going to go. We're not calling the cops. We're coming. And it's going to be hell when we're done with you. Because whether we're different in gender, we're a planet Earth, and you're the predator. You're treating us like the prey. We're coming to get you.
Right.
And that way, in every news story, it would be, and yes, like the Guardian Angels years ago with Curtis Sliwa defending the old women, now there is a band all over America. They're ready to stand up, and if you push them on violence, they're ready. And people say, wow, you know something? Watch what you say. Because they're on defense now. Now they're clobbering people. And I know that's a horribly, for some people, that's violence. But there's no shortage of violence that's been perpetrated on LGBT community. What's your thought on that? Is that too crazy?
I mean, for me, I don't know that violence really ever solves anything. I think we've got a lot of that happening in, across the board in general compared to when I was younger. I think that... You know, you have to. I think education is really the key because I don't. You know, I don't believe in that eye for eye, and that's almost like a bully. It's not really a bully stance because you're saying if you do something to me, I'm going after you. Well, you know what? When I teach kids how to respond to bullies, it's exactly what they do. They respond. They don't react. And reaction is emotional, right?
Mm-hmm.
And response is being very calm and very planned out. And I teach people how to actually diffuse. You know, bullies. Now, sure, if you're standing there and someone's got a gun in your face, you've got to do what you have to do because chances are if they're pointing a gun at you, you know, any words that come out of your mouth probably aren't going to do it. You know, you're dealing with, you know, a whole different situation. But to sort of be armed and ready to defend yourself, I'm not so sure that that's the answer.
Mm.
I really don't think that hatred or violence, you know, getting violence really cures anything.
Well, you're right.
I think
you know what?
We've got foundations,
that's
you know, and as you're talking about this environment,
we've
got a lot of organizations that are in the millions now that are going to stand up and have their say if something should come to the forefront.
Right. No, you're right. It's just that you want to hope that there could be a force to offset these people. Even if they never get it. You know, I don't, like, I wouldn't want
right.
to be...
No, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying, right? I don't want to wait for the day, hang around long enough, for everybody to get this. There's going to be people who don't get it. And, you know, I want to still walk to the supermarket, and I would like... I think it would be awesome if somebody was trying to do something like this, said to the element, wow, not you don't do this in the village. What are you talking about? Oh, man, they'll be on you in a second. All this guy's got to do is blow some kind of rape whistle or something. Eight guys are going to come out and kick your ass through the pavement.
Right.
And they know they got to get there in the 2 minutes before the con. Anyway, that's my fantasy there.
I mean, there were, you know, they did that back in the day, you know, when, unfortunately, when we had the riots way back when, people would sit on their front porch and they go, not in my neighborhood. I mean, you know,
that's
there were neighborhoods that did do that, but, you know, did that solve anything? Maybe short term it did for the moment, but long term did it? Look where we are.
Listen, you are so right about all this, but I kind of, here's what was happening in my head listening to you, is that it sounds like the LGBTQ community has a lot in common with Israel. They're surrounded by enemies, and if they're not abrasive and push back enough, are they ever going to get peace of mind? That's going to be my wrap-up question with you. What a great half hour, by the way, Seth. I love it when you're on the show. You do more in
a
visit
with
us.
I love chatting with you. I really do.
You do more. For my listeners, by talking with me, we get in deeper. We get so much better conversation than I get from my national media, so I'm grateful. But I do want to ask you, as you look forward, where might we be in 10 years? Can you see a better world that looks close enough for us to wish for it?
I wish I could answer you with the truth of what would be. I would love to see a lot more people educated. I would love to see things better than they are today. Will we be in a utopic type of world? I don't know, because there are many different types of issues we're facing all over, you know, internationally. I just know that we are better armed, like I said, with organizations that we may have been 30 or 40 years ago. And people aren't, I believe, aren't just going to sit down and let things happen. I mean, you know, there's just in the millions, you saw what happened with HB2, how all the corporations and everybody else just, you know, just came to the rush. It wasn't just the everyday person. It was corporations. It was organizations. It was states. It was, you know, public officials. So, I mean, I think people are smarter today than they were back then. I mean, I think we're more educated, maybe because of the Internet, maybe not. But I'd like to see us live a little bit more in peace and harmony, better than we are at this moment.
You know, there's a moment that I recall from my childhood. And again, we were in a tough neighborhood, very segmented. You had Puerto Ricans on one block, Italians over here, Irish over there, very segmented. But I do remember walking down Mars Park Avenue in the Bronx, seeing somebody across the street. Not cross-dressing, but it was some kind of a question mark there that one member of the group said, hey, take a look over there. And the second guy in the group was older than us. Maybe we were like in our early teens and walking around with like an 18, 19-year-old kid. And he says, what the hell do you care? And I said, man, this is, you know, this is what we need. We need a world where when people encounter people who are different, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You don't feel like it threatens you. You don't feel like it's inhibiting on you. What, in other words, to completely demur from the subject is where we got to get to, no?
Right, and I'll tell you something else, too. I mean, that's what's made the world so great, because if you take people and they're unique and they're different and you put all those unique and creative people in a team to do some work, you're going to get better results than six people that are like robotic. And that's what we forget, that, you know, everybody's got something very valuable to you know, show and to do and to give. And who cares what the outside wrapper looks like, because internally is what you're dealing with any person, no matter what.
Exactly. If we could really get unpreoccupied with other people's intimate lives, I think we would do better. Seth, you're a great guy.
Absolutely, I agree.
Thank you for the time on a Friday. I look forward to the next time you're on the show, and congratulations again. It's the first book for transgender teens, available on Amazon by Seth Reines, Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transition and Beyond. Have a great weekend, Seth.
Same to you, Ed. Thanks again.
You bet. Take care. Starcom Radio Network, AM/FM stations across America. Great guest. Let me get you caught up on news, weather.